NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Here are a few things the responders at the 988 Lifeline want you to know.
We want to be that listening ear to provide support.
A crisis is a self-defined moment, so a crisis can look different for everybody.
Anyone who calls can share whatever they want to share. If they want to tell us their name, they're welcome to, but it's not necessary.
Call, text, or chat 988 for free. Confidential support anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Lisa Costello, the author, is with me in studio. Do you like a 99, Lisa?
I love a 99, and you get a great 99 in Moat for him from in Balhall's shop. But this is a crisis.
I'm sorry to have loaded you with such a major crisis early on. Yeah. And how big is the 99 in Moat?
It's as big as you want, you know, because I have two small kids, and I always have to tell them, like, stop. You know, it'd be as big as their head, kind of coming out with this thing.
But I can live with that. I wouldn't mind that. So well done. We salute Moat and their large 99s. You're here to talk about your new book, which is out. It's called Crooked Wood.
That's correct. Yes, indeed.
So this is your second book.
It's my second book. It is.
But Crooked Wood is one that is set in a Midlands town.
Mm-hmm.
Not dissimilar to Moat?
No, it's not dissimilar to Moat. Well spotted. I mean, I should say there is an actual village in the Irish Midlands called Crooked Wood, north of Mullingar. My sister lives in Mullingar, and I drive through this roundabout by the motorway hundreds of times now. And there's a signpost on the roundabout for Crooked Wood. I think it's a beautiful name. It's very evocative. You know, it's like something from a fairy tale. So this is going back years. I've passed this on. I think it sowed a seed in my head until I eventually sort of had to write it out, and it came out as a story.
But we could reassure them that nothing happens in Crooked Wood.
It's more scrubby South Westmeath town, like can you gather moat than lovely.
So the characters, like there's a little bit of similarity to yourself and your own story as well. Sarah, you know, had been away, came back to this town. So, but
yes.
Unlike you, she is a rising culinary star.
She is. I'm definitely not one of those. She is indeed. So she's the backstory, I suppose, very quickly is that she studied agricultural science with the view to moving back home and helping her mother run the family farm. The father died when Sarah was a little girl. But she got a part-time job, as we all do in college, and hers was in a kitchen and kind of fine dining restaurant, and worked her way up from dishwasher. And so this kind of burgeoning rising career and in a field that's really her passion is happening. But Nancy, her mother, is pulling out all the stops now to try to get her to not, she doesn't want to sell the farm. It's really on the cards now. And sort of unbeknownst to Sarah, she's really on a knife's edge as to whether she'll capitulate to her mother or whether she'll follow her dream, if you like. Mm. So that's the kind of backstory. When she's down home in the kitchen, which is the safest place, you know, she's ever been, like washing dishes with her mother, goes for a walk down the back field, like which was her de facto playground as a kid, walks into the wood without thinking of it, and then comes across something. And this happens in the first chapter, which wasn't meant for anyone's eyes and really wasn't seen by her eyes, because it's dark and it's in the wood and she's frightened. And there's a dog who she knows from its body language and its tension that it will attack her, you know. And she runs, and a man gives chase and lets her know that he's seen her and he knows who she is. And that's what starts dragging her into this sort of very kind of sinister heart, I suppose, of what her supposedly respectable hometown.
Mm. It's a psychological thriller
it
as
is
well,
indeed,
though, isn't
yes.
it? So it's one of these Hitchcockian page turner where you need to be surprised by what's on the next page.
That's right. And I'm glad you said Hitchcock, because I'm a huge fan of his, and I love what he said about this genre, the psychological thriller. He said, you know, if you're talking about what you're giving, well, the viewer in his case, but you give them the pleasure they get on waking from a nightmare, you know. And I love that, because it's the pleasure in fear that's inside a book. So you're kind of safe, but also you have that shiver of kind of dread of and the tension that builds up. You know, his books or his movies, sorry, were all about that sort of that tension and dread. And then, as you say, the surprise that's completely left of field and you don't see it coming.
What I love about speaking to authors at the moment is everyone who comes in, this is a lockdown project. This
yes.
is something that wasn't necessarily on their agenda, because you had the previous book.
I did.
Which is The Estate, which is really, really well received.
Thank you.
But When did the second one creep into your consciousness? Where did you, when did you realise that there was a story about Crooked Wood in the back of your mind?
Yeah, well, I didn't until I started writing, really. I mean, as I say, the kind of seed was sown and I sat down with it and with the idea. I was telling your researcher, Eamonn, that I actually did have a scary experience with a dog, but mine wasn't in the woods in the dark. It was in broad daylight in Dublin. I went to Tesco and was walking home. I thought I'd go through this housing estate and I was thinking it would be a shortcut and it wasn't. And I went down this cul-de-sac. And it was so eerily quiet, even though it was midday, really bright, nobody around. And suddenly there was this Alsatian and his nose was at my fingers and he was terrifying and he didn't make a sound. And I knew if I made the wrong move, I'd come out of that with a couple of fewer fingers than
you
when
just
I went
to Tesco.
I went to Tesco for a pint of milk. I just wanted a cup of tea.
This wasn't a psychological thriller. No. This was just a trip to Tesco.
That's all it was. And I did emerge unscathed. But anyway, those two things fed into the first chapter. And I knew with the character, when she's walking down that field, there was a real weight in her shoulders. And she was in danger, not just from what she was going to physically encounter in the field, but psychologically from pressures on her. And that it was tied into something that happened to her in those woods when she was a teenager. But I didn't understand what those things were until I kept writing, you know. So
was it as much of a revelation for you going along? Because I'm always interested in the process that a writer puts into the, you know, do they decide the end and work backwards? You were letting the story play out as you were writing it.
Yeah, I mean, somebody said it's like you're driving along a car in the dark with the headlights. You see what's in front of you and you don't see anything else. And it really was, it was like that, you know. But and you kind of have to have faith in it. If you keep that feeling of suspense and tension, and that I have this kind of irrational belief that the real story is out there and it exists, and it's like an archaeologist, you're just like digging around for it, and hopefully you won't chop off its head en route, you know. But that's how it goes.
Would you have been able to write a story about a rural town in Ireland if you were living in Dublin? I mean, what was it important to you that you were surrounded quite literally by the type of,
by the countryside, the actual landscape? No, I mean, sometimes I do look out the window and work in what I'm looking at. Like once there's a scene where it starts to snow at the end, it's set in March, so that's highly possible in Ireland. Good to snow now, the way the weather's been going. But I looked out the window and I brought the snow into the story because it had started to snow. So I do take in the landscape outside, you know, sometimes when I'm writing. But I think in some ways it might have been easier to write it in Dublin because I'd have that bit of distance. That can help as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is, there's obviously the psychological element, there's the violent, there's violence here. I mean, obviously that is part of what it is. Is it difficult to write that? Because particularly when your lead character is female and we know of violence against women being terribly prevalent in our society.
It is. I mean, and I think, you know, you can't write a novel without being shaped by the society and the time and place in which it's written. So, like, it's inevitable that themes, you know, not just in psychological thriller, but in any novel. But I do find those scenes difficult and they're always quite weak, the first drafts, because I rush through them because I don't want to be there, you know. It's about going into the difficult scenes. I mean, someone said to me once, it's like in real life, their human instinct is to step back from danger. You know, that's what keeps us alive. We survive by that. But when you're writing fiction, you have to do the opposite. You have to go into it, you know. So it's counterintuitive and it is difficult.
Where'd you go for the next book now? I mean, we don't have another lockdown to work on it, but have you started it?
I have started thinking about it. I know it's going to be in, it's kind of going to be, it has a gothic feel to it in my head. It's going to be in Connemara and it's going to be in sort of a spooky house by the sea. And it's going to be, one thing I really like about the psychological thriller genre is that you're writing it and it's about the story and you want the plot to be tight, but also in the mood and atmosphere and the psychological themes, you can address a kind of a more fundamental human feeling or experience.
I'm already there. You've already done, okay, literally good. In the translation, so the little bit of a description, you've put
in
me Connemara, out in Connemara,
yeah.
In a spooky house.
Connemara is made for a gothic novel, you know, but it's early motherhood. So, you know, those days of total sleep deprivation, you start going crazy. I think that's good territory for a psychological thriller.
It's brilliant. But the latest book, if you want to get your hands in Crooked Wood, is out now in all the good bookshops and the terrible ones as well. Lise Costello, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on